Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Vincent Hughes, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Hughes or any of his guests this evening, you can press star 3, that's star 3 on your phone's keypad, if you have a question for Senator Hughes or any of his guests. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Vincent Hughes.
Thanks, Hugh. Good to have you back with us once again, man. Thanks to everybody for being a part of this conversation. We've been doing these dialogues pretty regularly as we've been working our way through this pandemic, and I want to thank everyone for participation. The things that have occurred as a result of the coronavirus and COVID-19 have been devastating in all aspects of our lives, and as we had in our conversation last week when we had Philadelphia Commissioner Omar Sabir on and Montgomery County Commissioner Ken Lawrence on. We talked a lot about the voting process, and we'll be doing that again. We cannot allow this virus, this disease, to overwhelm our democracy. So we'll be talking about that this evening, making sure that folks have good information from two trusted sources, two trusted messengers who are responsible for pushing democracy as far as they can possibly do it here in Philadelphia and in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And, of course, we'll have one of our best doctors in the country on the line with us as well, talking about the health issues as it relates to the coronavirus. Hugh is always going to remind me and to remind you to push star 3 if you have a question. Star 3 if you have a question, and we'll try to get you in the loop and get your question answered before the evening is over. Our three guests this evening are Dr. George Dallenberg, who's a pediatrician at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. He's just not a pediatrician. He's a really important pediatrician over at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Dr. Dallenberg, welcome. Thank you for participating in our telephone town hall this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate
Thank you,
it.
Sir. Thank you. The chair of the City Commissioners for the City of Philadelphia, Commissioner Lisa Dealey. She is the chair of the commissioners, as I indicated, and which means she is the boss. We call her, Lisa, we call you the big boss with the hot sauce, okay? You're the boss over there. All right? And then the statewide boss with the hot sauce for voting in Pennsylvania is our Secretary of the State, Secretary of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Kathy Buchvar, who has responsibility in many areas, in many spaces, but has spent so much good time, quality time, processing all of the changes that have occurred in voting in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And so, Madam Secretary, welcome to our telephone town hall. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate being here.
Thank you. So, all right. So we're gonna just get the conversation started. We always want to make sure we start off with the health issues as it relates to the coronavirus. We've been struggling with this pandemic here in this country probably for the last 2 months or so, maybe a little bit longer. And there may be some things that we've learned about this disease that folks need to know, need to understand. So, Dr. Dallenberg, if you could just lead off with a couple minutes, about what it is that you still want folks to remember, what you've learned about the coronavirus, and what you want folks to remember in terms of their behavior, their practices, and everything like that.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. So just to take it back to the basics, we talk about the coronavirus, we also talk about COVID-19.
That's correct.
And I feel like that can be confusing to people. So just to recap on that, coronavirus is the name of the virus in the name. And so that's different than your bacteria, which is what antibiotics work against. So if you're thinking, why haven't we just given this an antibiotic and fixed it? That's why it's a different thing that's making people sick. The official name for the condition that we're dealing with is COVID-19. So the co in that is corona. The vid is virus disease, and then we started to see cases in 2019. We're not that creative in the scientific community, so that's where we get COVID-19 from. And then, so this virus that we're dealing with, it's a new version or like a subtype of the coronavirus kind of like family of viruses. So it's kind of like a really nasty cousin, and that's what's been causing the pandemic that we've been dealing with for the last few months. And I think that it is exciting to see the way that the country has kind of like come together to deal with this in large part, and especially here for us in Philadelphia. In terms of some of what we've learned about it, I think that we have a sense of who it is affecting. And so from the very beginning, I think luckily we've seen that children have not been affected as severely by the disease, which is not to say that they cannot get the virus and maybe like pass that on to other people. But in terms of getting the disease, ending up in the intensive care unit, like some of the adults we're seeing that less with children, which is great. We are seeing this in kind of like our, we'll say like middle-aged adults, and I think that there can often be kind of like a sense of I'm young, I'm healthy, and I think it's important to realize that this can affect our middle-aged adults and end up with them being severely affected. And then especially our older population, as well as any people with underlying health conditions, which just tends to be more so the case as we get a little bit older, they are being especially affected by this virus and by COVID-19 specifically. I think we've had a lot of talking around this idea of social distancing so that we can flatten the curve. And just to take a moment to talk about like what that means, the idea there was basically we wanted to avoid having a big peak in the number of our cases, a peak that was so high to go up in the number of cases so quickly and to have so many severely affected people that our medical system was not able to actually handle all of those people having to go to the hospital, having to go to the intensive care unit and be treated and supported in the way that they needed to. Luckily, with the efforts that we've put into place, we have been able to kind of flatten that curve a little bit. And so what that does is it buys us more time. Like, yes, people are still going to be affected by the coronavirus, are still going to get COVID-19, but we avoided everybody getting it all at once, which would have overwhelmed the medical system. But there's still some work to do. And so some of the things that have been effective in combating the coronavirus is, one, just the social distancing aspect. So it is horrible to have to stay at home, especially as it gets nicer. That has been very painful over the last few weeks. That has actually been for a purpose. It has really helped to limit the spread. I see this in my practice even now. People are coming in and they're like, I haven't had an asthma flare in like 2 months. And I'm like, yeah, that's what happens when you're like not around like anybody else. You can't even pick up the normal things that that would normally cause an asthma flare. Or like kids being out of daycare. They're like, this is the first time that they've actually been healthy in a really long time. I'm like, yep, makes sense. And so there's been some side benefits there, but I know that that's really hard to do, and I just want to thank everybody who's been putting in that work. I think another element is just kind of like the hand hygiene, really washing your hands 20 seconds, pick whatever song you like, pick whatever part of a song you'd like to really wash that virus off. And then there's the masking part, and I think that that's a great example of just kind of how much our understanding of this virus is evolving over time. We are learning more about it every day, and I think that can be frustrating to people where they're like, the message keeps changing. But unfortunately, that's just kind of like us understanding more and trying to be transparent with people and give them the latest information on our understanding. And so the masking recommendations have changed since the beginning, but the current recommendation is that you can and should wear a cloth mask is enough. And the idea there is really to protect others as well as protecting yourself. And so that keeps the droplets coming out of your nose, out of your mouth. If you are infected with coronavirus and maybe just kind of like early on and don't really fully know it yet, or you're one of the people who's less symptomatic, that keeps that from kind of spreading around to the environment you're in, whether that's like if you you like cough on someone and don't cover your mouth, or even if you like think about coughing on your computer, and then like somebody else comes and uses that keyboard after you, or you cough into your hand and then you touch a railing and then somebody comes and then touches that railing after you. And so it's like that type of spread that we're trying to stop, and that's why the masks are kind of like so important as part of our little toolkit for trying to stop the spread of this.
Dr. D'Alembert, so that's really, really, really good information from someone who's been watching this impact on children and adults over the last couple of months and has seen how it's transformed. Again, folks, the basic principles remain the same as you heard from the doctor: social distancing, wear your mask. Stay home. Social distancing. Wear your mask. Stay home. The region is still, based on the way the disease has manifested itself, the region is still, southeastern Pennsylvania is still in that red zone. So we're kind of all in this together, pretty much on a lockdown as we slowly begin to wake up parts of our economy and allow folks to go back to their normal behavior. We still have to be smart. We still have to be safe, because we can bring back an economy at any time, all right? But we can't bring back someone back from the dead, all right? We got to make sure that people are healthy. We got to do that. So thanks, Dr. D'Alembert. Appreciate that summation of where you see things are at this moment. At one of the impacts, and I'm going to come to you, Secretary Bookvar, one of the impacts of the COVID-19 is that we made the decision in Harrisburg to push the election day back from April 28th, which would have been last week, all right, to June 2nd. And you've been part of that whole process, the larger policy decisions that had to be made around that. What is it that you want people to understand as they go forward and start paying more and more attention about the election on June 2nd and the messages we're trying to communicate to folks? What's your broad perspective, your broad view on things?
Well, thank you, Senator. I first want to thank you for your leadership and also thank Commissioner Dealey as well, because this is, this is a situation where every partnership is key. Yep. And I want to start by thanking you and the legislature for, though we knew nothing about COVID-19 at the time, Act 77 passed last fall, historic bipartisan legislation that provided more options for voting to voters in Pennsylvania than, the last eight decades in Pennsylvania. Thank goodness included voting by mail-in ballot without having to provide an excuse. So we had no idea that coronavirus would come, but as it turns out, there couldn't be a more important time to let voters know that you can all vote by mail. It used to be limited to people who had an excuse, who had to be out of town or had an illness, but now every voter, for any reason or no reason at all, can vote by mail. And it's really easy. You can go online to votespa.com. If you have access to the internet, you put in your information. It's super quick. It takes a couple of minutes. And if you put in your email address, it will give you updates about every step of the process. So when your application is approved, you get an email. When your ballot is being mailed to you, you get an email. When your ballot's received, you get an email. So it's completely secure. It's safe. You could do it at midnight, curled up in bed. It's really, incredibly easy. And if you don't have access to the internet or you don't want to do this online, you can call 1-877-VOTES-PA. We've brought in so many more people to answer the phones because we've literally gotten tens of thousands of calls from folks saying, can you please mail me an application? I want to vote by mail. I don't want to go out. And so I think we've sent out something like 20,000 applications. So feel free to call 877-VOTES-PA, or you could go on to votespa.com, which is even easier because you can make sure that the information is correct, and it saves time for the counties, and it reduces errors. So my main message to folks is vote by mail, is secure, it's safe, it's easy. That's our first choice. That's the best way to kind of reduce any risk, reduce the burden on election day. But if you can't, you still can go vote on June 2nd, and we're making sure that voting on June 2nd is safe. The poll workers are going to have masks and gloves and hand sanitizer and floor marking tape so that we can maintain social distance. And all those protections, wear a mask, do it like you would go to the grocery store. So, you know, you go out, you wear your mask, you get your business done, and then you go home. Stay safe, go home. But they will be open, and they will be available so that folks have that option. But again, if you can vote by mail, that's the best option. And you can find out lots of information about all of these on votespa.com.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
That's my overview, Senator.
That's good. That's good. Remember, folks, we made these changes to improve democracy, and then we made some more changes to really try to keep folks as safe as possible, as safe as possible. So the idea of calling and getting your application or going online and filing for your application to get your ballot sent to you is extremely important. It improves democracy. It makes it easier. And it keeps us all safe and healthy. Madam Chair, Commissioner, or however you want to flip it around, Madam Commissioner, Chair. Okay, Lisa Daly, talk to us about the things that you're trying to get done in Philadelphia, because we got tons of questions coming in. And if you could just give us a couple minutes about what you're trying to do here in the city, to try to improve the process, improve democracy, that'd be helpful. And then we'll open up these lines and start getting some questions in.
Thank you. And thank you, Senator, and hello to the Secretary. This is indeed a very challenging time, and certainly shouldn't be challenged by what to call me, because everybody could just call me Lisa. I'm happy to be Lisa. So I just want everybody to know that, you know, we have our priorities are to keep our staff safe, our poll workers safe, and the voters safe. And the best way to do that is for everybody to take the opportunity that has been provided to us by Act 77, and please, please vote by mail. Even if you think that, you know, your health is not a question, and you can go and vote and it's fine, I want you to think about the poll worker and the staff person and all the people that you're going to come in contact with. The reality is, the more people that vote by mail, the less people we will have in-person voting. As we look to a stand-up election in Philadelphia, in the face of this virus, in the face of the shutdown of the city and the facilities that we're limited to, and the social distancing requirements that we have to set up polling places around, you know, the real threat of having to depend on, you know, the possibility of reinforcements, whether it's thousands of members of the National Guard or whatever the case, you know, we want to make sure that our number one priority making sure everybody has their voice heard. We don't want anybody to risk their health or their safety or anybody else's in order to exercise their right to vote. So please, I know we're all saying it over and over again, but please take this opportunity to vote by mail. If you can do it online, you know, that's the quickest, most efficient way to do it. You can also request a paper application, as the Secretary said. You can even request paper application from our offices. You can call our office. My staff is there. We're there every day, 215-686-3460. Or you can, all of us, myself and Commissioner Sabir and Commissioner Schmidt, we all have social media platforms. We're all available all the time. The city commissioners have a Twitter page. For those of you that are on Twitter, It's at Philly Votes. There's a host of opportunity for you to get in touch with us, and we can get you ballots. We are delivering. I am joking with my staff that I feel like I'm Domino's. We're driving all over the city, dropping off, paper applications to places where they need, large numbers, senior facilities, and so on and so forth. Whatever we need to do to make sure that everybody takes advantage of this opportunity to vote by mail, therefore limiting the number of in-person voting and in return making sure that everybody is as safe as possible is really our priority. We hope to have, a final answer on what exactly Election Day will be in Philadelphia, we're not there yet. But without that, we are equipped with the knowledge of knowing that Election Day in Philadelphia on June the 2nd will look very different than it's ever looked before. And the voters of Philadelphia should know that the best, safest way for their voice to be heard and their vote to be counted is to please take advantage of the mail-in ballot.
That's our chairperson of our city commissioners, Lisa Dealey, talking to us about what some of the changes are planning for Philadelphia. Remember, folks, there's a couple things I want to get out here before we start taking some questions. For those individuals who have questions about their corona check, their stimulus check, their relief check, the best vehicle to get those questions answered are at the IRS.gov website, IRS.gov website, IRS.gov. For those individuals who are working and keeping the faith around their unemployment compensation check, remember that the money has increased, the length of time to receive money has increased, and the kinds of folks who can get money has expanded. But you go to uc.pa.gov, uc.pa.gov. Those are principal websites for your IRS corona check, for your unemployment compensation. Of course, if you have an issue, call my office. Ask to speak to Tiffany Wilson at 215-879-7777, 215-879-7777. And I got to put out, and we will answer your questions as quickly as possible and work with you over the phone. We're closed because we're trying to maintain the order, maintain social distancing. We're physically closed, but we're working online and we're working through the phones. Phone numbers that were mentioned, __, __, __. Call if you want an application and you can't get it through votespa.com, votespa.com, call 877-VOTESPA, 877-VOTESPA, and an application for a mail-in ballot will be sent to you. Utilize that information. We're putting it out there. Utilize it. Make it work for you. All right, Hugh, before we start taking some questions, is it *3 that you want folks to push to get their question in the queue? All right.
Yep. If you have a question for... as a reminder, as Senator Hughes mentioned, if you have a question for Senator Hughes or any of his guests this evening, press *3. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, our first caller tonight is going to be Constance. Constance, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. I have one quick question. I have a lot of seniors in my area. I'm a block captain. Mm-hmm. And can I download or request mail-in votes for them?
Lisa, Matt, Secretary Bookvar, both of you can take a shot at that one.
So you can download the application, the paper application, and print it out, and you can distribute it to your building, or you can call the office, and we can have somebody drive some out and leave them in the lobby. You can also have a place where everybody can leave them to be collected, and we're happy to pick them up. So our main objective is, like I said, to make sure everybody has that opportunity. So we're happy to assist in any way we can in getting you those paper applications, or if you have the means to print them out, you certainly can use the PDF and print them out.
Okay. I was asking because a lot of the seniors don't have computers.
Right,
and
right.
I wanted to get that done. Also, there's been something, I guess it's a rumor, I'm not sure. The post office is not going to be funded by the guy in the White House. Is that going to hinder the mail-in votes?
I'll start, and Secretary, you can kick in after I do. The post office will be funded. One of the reasons why that guy in the White House is doing that is to kind of shake people up and get them to raise questions. The post office has been a very reliable servant to our community for decades. In fact, the post office is hiring. I just saw an announcement by them. They're hiring. They're paying $72,000 a year. Start off at the post office. So anybody who's got a question looking for a job, just tell them $72,000 a year at the post office, and they'll pay you while they're training you.
Yep.
Okay, they'll pay you while they're training you. So Secretary, do you have any concerns about the post office and their ability to handle their responsibilities by mail?
I would just say that everything you said is completely right, Senator. But at the same time, we all know that COVID-19 is impacting every single corner of our universe right now, including the post office. So,
yep.
I do think I completely agree with you. They're going to be funded. They're going to be in business. However, you should expect that mail takes twice as long as it usually does. And so, don't wait. Go into votespa.com. Submit your application or call the 877-VOTES-PA, get your application. The fact that Philadelphia, Commissioner Dealey, is saying that they'll pick up, that they'll help facilitate that delivery. Once you get your ballot, do not wait a second to get it in, because that's really the key, right? The last thing you want is to be submitting your ballot and have it not arrive in time. So if you can deliver it, if you can hand deliver it at a time, you could call the commissioner's office, make sure that they're open, you know, at the hour that you want to deliver it. Hand deliver it if you can go out for that period and then go home and be safe. But if you're going to mail it, do it as soon as the ballot arrives, really. I can't emphasize that enough. Don't wait. And I want to say, I forgot to say earlier, as of yesterday, over 1 million applications had been submitted in Pennsylvania across the Commonwealth. And so, and just to give you a comparison, in the last presidential primary, a little over 100,000 voters voted by mail, by absentee ballot. And so over 1 million Pennsylvanians are understanding that this is a trusted, safe, easy, secure way to vote. So I want to echo what Commissioner Dealey said. Join that, but don't wait. Do it today. Do it tomorrow. Governor Wolf, was going to be applying for his ballot a day and a half ago. You know, trust your leaders and do it this way and stay safe.
I did mine last night. I did mine at about 10:15 last night. And I'm waiting patiently that any day now that ballot is going to come back in. It was a very simple process, and I'm just waiting, anticipating my ballot to come in so I can turn that around right away. Commissioner Dealey, do you have any answers for Constance, or did we cover everything?
Excuse me? I thought you cut off on me. I'm sorry.
I was just asking if we took care of Constance's questions, or if there was anything that you wanted to add.
Yeah, I think Constance is okay. Like I said, happy to call my office. We're happy to facilitate, get applications to you, pick them up once they're completed. Whatever we can do, we're here for you.
Full service. Full service operation.
Commissioner Dealey, what is your phone number again? If you could just provide your phone number again for folks.
Certainly. 215.
That were listening in case they had to go get a pen. And okay.
215-686-3460. 215-686-3460.
Okay, thank you.
There you go. Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Hughes. Who's next?
Senator, we're going to go to Sherry. Sherry, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for having this phone call. But
thank you, Sherry.
You're welcome. I am a blind individual. I vote in every election. I went blind about 13 years ago, and I still vote in every election. Obviously, I'm not happy with, you know, the orange dude.
Yeah.
So I would like, that's my nickname for him. So I would like to be able to go online and do what I need to do. I have a screen reader, which is called JAWS. I know when I go downstairs and I vote, I use the machine, the hand device that is given to me, and that's very helpful. So I want to know that if, you know, I need it, when I'm ready to vote, can I use the computer? And I got a lot of friends. I'm a board member of the National Federation of the Blind. So I would like to be able to tell people that they can go online and vote online with their screen reader, which is JAWS, Job Applications with Speech.
Commissioner Dealey, what provisions, and then Secretary, you can jump in, what provisions are we putting in place to help Sherry and folks who have a similar situation?
Well, one of the main reasons why we will stand up an election on election day. And that is also one of the reasons why Philadelphia chose the ballot marking device. It really had a great interface for people that had disabilities. The online application, I don't know, and the secretary could correct me, but I believe that on the back end, that will be ready in time for November, but I don't believe that it is available at this time.
Wow.
Secretary, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I'm not familiar with JAWS, and we can definitely put you in touch with our team. I think that there are readers of the ballot that you probably can do on your own, but what we're doing, what Commissioner Dealey mentioned, is we are going to be implementing in all counties across the state kind of centralized tool that's going to make it even easier for blind voters and other voters with disabilities to, it's going to be as if you're voting on a ballot marking device like the one that they use in Philadelphia, but you'd be able to do it from your computer. So unfortunately, it's not something that can be implemented in 67 counties before June 2nd, but we've already started the process and it will be done over the summer so that in time for fall, it will be even easier for voters with disabilities and blind voters to utilize this tool. And basically you'll be able to go on, you'll actually be able to not just do the application part, but feed the ballot through your computer and use it as a ballot marking device and send it back. So it's really state-of-the-art technology, and unfortunately state-of-the-art technology is not quick in implementation, but I want you to know that we've already started this process. But I think if you want to go ahead and Senator Hughes, I don't know if you could get the contact information for
sure.
The caller, and I'm happy to have
sure.
one of our team reach out to them.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you for that question.
Senator, we have the contact information for Sherry, and we'll be able to pass that along.
Great. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Secretary. Hugh, who's next?
Okay, Senator, we're going to go to Lacey. Lacey, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Oh, wow. Y'all caught me eating a cracker.
What kind of cracker was it, Lacey? What kind of cracker was it? Is it Ritz?
Saltine.
What up? What's up? A saltine. Okay. Old fashioned. All right. Old school.
Saltine.
Go ahead. What you got,
yeah,
Lacey?
Old school. How you been, Senator Hughes?
You hear me grinding. All right? You hear me grinding.
I know. You're doing good, boy. You're doing good.
Thank
I
you,
hope
sis.
Your family is doing good, and I appreciate all y'all as always.
Thank you.
But now, as they say, you know, moving forward.
Right.
My question was, the flu and the coronavirus, to my opinion, has similar touches to the body. Like, how can you tell them apart if you're feeling some kind of bad, if you think you got the flu or the coronavirus? And because I'm going to say this, and I'm going to make it short and brief. When it first hit, I started feeling like sickness in the air tearing us apart. So I just asked a stranger, I said, brother, can you tell me if you take something up in that air in our throat? Well, naturally, he young. He ain't one of these. I don't know. Never mind, baby. It's okay. It's okay. It's cool. I said, okay. I know I taste it. Then my stomach started acting like I was getting a bug. And I started a little running like I was getting. I'm like, whoa, am I getting a flu or is it? And that's when all this corona stuff started happening. So now, I haven't been sick. I'm not saying I don't have it, but I haven't been sick. So I went back to my grandmother's roots and started doing what she did to take care of us.
Right.
And I'm doing great. And I'm just wanting to know, can you tell the difference? If the person say, I got the coronavirus, but they may have the flu. Can you separate those two and see who's who? Can you figure that out?
Let's ask Dr. Dallenbear that one. Dr. Dallenbear, what do you think on Lacey's question? What's your sense?
Well, that's a great question. Thank you for asking. The short answer is yes. The slightly longer answer is, but it might not matter. To answer the question, like, yes, like, we have tests that can differentiate whether or not you have the flu versus if you have COVID-19 and the coronavirus that's causing it. The flu season, we actually track the cases of flu both locally for Philadelphia as well as like our surrounding counties as well as like nationally, and we've actually seen those numbers drop. And so during flu season, we actually kind of do routine flu testing at my hospital and in my clinic, and we've actually stopped doing that like routinely now just because the numbers have dropped so low. So we're not seeing that much flu right now. So that's part of, you're just like less likely to have the flu right now. That being said, there's also different, slightly different symptoms with coronavirus versus with the flu. And so just even when we talk about the flu, there's like two types of flu there. One is just kind of like the, you don't feel good. You got that like sore throat. You got that cough. You're just kind of like laying in bed, high fevers. The other one, which I think you might have been mentioning, is kind of like more of like you have some of that too, but you also have some like stomach symptoms. You got the runs and like maybe you're throwing up. So that's like flu A and like flu B. So for adults, we're not really seeing as much as kind of like the stomach symptoms with the coronavirus. If you were to have just kind of like the other generally like don't feel good type symptoms, then like that might look similar between coronavirus and the flu. That being said, and the reason why I gave like the slightly longer answer of it might not matter, is that in that case, what you want to do is actually ends up being very similar. So you want to take care of yourself. You want to make sure that you are able to stay hydrated. You want to make sure that you are kind of like avoiding other people that could get sick, whether it's picking up the flu from you or whether it's picking up coronavirus from you. You want to wash your hands. You want to cover your mouth when you sneeze. You want to be doing all that same stuff regardless of which virus it is. You can take Tylenol. You can take Motrin as long as you don't have any other medical issues, like for the fever, for the aches. Like, all of that stays the same. That's the reason why, to a certain extent, regardless of which one you have, you're kind of end up doing the same thing. And then if you started to feel really poorly, you started to feel short of breath or any other severe symptoms, then it would be getting in touch with a medical professional to kind of like get advice on the next steps. But a lot of the management of the two actually ends up being the same, even though we can tell them apart.
And Always call your doctor, right, Dr. Dell?
Always call your doctor with any questions. Always call your doctor.
Always, yeah. Always. Always,
yeah, and
call.
And I think especially right now, that call your doctor, I think I want to, like, take that also literally, because I think one of the things that's been coming up is if you do think that you have COVID-19, you should not just kind of, like, do a walk-in and go to the office, because then you might be exposing others. So as long as you're still feeling okay, you should go ahead and call your doctor. And then, of course, if it's ever an emergency, you go ahead and call 911.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Dowell. We appreciate you. Thank you very much. Hugh, who's next?
Senator, we're going to go to Linda. Linda, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and Guest.
Hey, Linda.
Hi. Good evening, and thank you for this format for
Absolutely.
Us. I moved, and my question is, if I call and get this mail-in ballot, will that automatically registry for moving?
Commissioner Dealey?
Sure. So, thanks for calling.
Watch that background noise, Linda. Watch that background
I'm sorry. Noise. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Linda,
thank you.
Can you repeat your question again? You moved?
Yes, and I want to do the mail-in ballot.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if that will, like, re-register me.
No, so if you moved, you would need to, first thing you'll need to do is update your voter registration to your new address, and then you can apply for the mail-in ballot.
Okay, and how do I go about that?
You can update your voter registration online, or we can,
I'm not,
mail you out, or we can mail you out a paper form to do that.
Okay.
Do you have the ability to do it online?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to give you my number, and you can call our office tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get you all the forms you need to update your voter registration and then get your mail-in ballot application.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's 215
686
34
64-60-60 Okay. And thank you so much.
Great.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you very much, Linda. You hang in there. Make that phone call tomorrow morning. Don't. The commissioner gave out her direct office phone line. She's committed. She gave out her direct office phone line. Folks should utilize it and get that service that she and the other commissioners are providing to really make sure that folks are exercising their democracy, Secretary Buchvar had to jump off the call as she has, believe it or not, another Zoom piece that she's got to do, another call that she's got to do, some other information she's got to take care of. So it'll be for the remainder of this conversation, it'll be our chair of our Philadelphia Commissioners, Lisa Dealey, and our doctor, Dr. George Dallenbear. Hugh, who's next for us?
We're going to go to Madeline. Madeline, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Thank you so much. I'm wondering, are we going to get employees for the county's votes from each ward and division? Or the post office is hiring, or how do you have any idea how that's going to be done? Because we do want the totals, like we get to say how many from this ward, this division voted for, et cetera, et cetera. And then we come to the total. Let's just say we have a grand total of 1 million Philadelphians turned out to vote. Wouldn't that be super, super?
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, it would be. So, and Lisa, I bet you know this young lady, Madeline, who's calling in. I know you know her, okay? And because I know her, and I know you do as well. How is that process going to work with the count?
That is a fantastic question. I was on another Zoom call early before I came on this, and that was the best question of the night. So, you know, typically in Philadelphia, we are we're a little spoiled. We're accustomed to getting our results pretty quickly because we get them from the machine. The machine totals come in, and that gives us a pretty good, fair indication of, you know, winners, people that are successful and unsuccessful, because the majority of our votes are cast on the machine. So this time it's going to be a little different because we are anticipating and certainly hoping that the majority of our votes will have already been cast on the mail-in ballots. So the results in turn will happen in a much later time. June 9th is the date that...
I'm sorry, June I have a question. All right, go ahead. You finish it then.
June 9th is the date that the military and the overseas are due in to us. So historically, those paper, you know, those totals don't get done until after that time. So that's what we'll be looking at for this election. I mean, the machine totals for the machines that are out there and the divisions that are stood up on Election Day, we will still certainly be able to provide those numbers. But those numbers are not going to give us a clear picture because we will have had the majority of the votes cast on the paper.
Madeline, okay. just to add to that, and that's a good response, Lisa, but to add to that, we tried to, in the legislature, tried to, this is one of the reasons why voting is important, all right, we tried to get a provision put in place where we could begin the count early and not wait until that day. And some of the guys on the other, some of the electors on the other side of the aisle, did not want to support getting those ballots that were sent in early. They didn't want to support getting them counted early as well. So that will push back the timing for our results and getting them all counted, because just logistically it's going to take more and more time. But we'll get it done. We'll get it done.
Are they going to be coming through the post office? Are they going to be coming through city committee or the state committee? I guess it's going to go on all across the country.
Yeah, well, the results in Philadelphia, you'll be able to see them in the same fashion that you're used to. You can go on our website and they'll be broken down by ward division.
I want to make sure that jobs, the people that are doing the counting, come from...
The people that are doing the counting are our city commissioners.
From which our vote comes from. I just think that's very important that y'all make this clear, because here lately we've been getting left out of the jobs. Let me just express that, you know, because we have a major problem going on in Philadelphia with people not having work.
So I think Commissioner Dealey said it clearly. Those are going to be folks who work for the commissioner's office. They'll be nonpartisan. They work for the commissioner's office. They'll be doing the counting. They'll be doing the tabulating. And if we can get her some more money, she'll hire some more people. am I right about that, Commissioner Dealey?
That's my favorite topic.
There you go. It's going to be work intensive. And Madeline is right. If we can find work for folks, try to get a few dollars in their pocket as we get through this coronavirus situation, that would be a very good thing. Hugh, who's next on the call list, sir?
Senator, we're going to go to Jan. Jan, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Hi, everybody. Good evening.
Hey, Jan.
I understand the polling place is going to be consolidated, and I'm a poll worker, and I don't know whether or not the place I usually work is going to be open or not. Is there any way to find out?
Thank you so much for being a poll worker, first of all.
Yeah, absolutely.
We could not get elections off the ground if it not for our neighbors who do that poll work for us. I know I was a judge of elections at 18, so I get it. You can assume that your polling place that you typically vote in is not going to be open on Election Day. You will be getting a letter in the mail from us any day. If you get it today, you'll maybe get it tomorrow. We're asking the poll workers, you know, if people still are interested in working, because we know
that there's a great vast majority of poll workers who are choosing not to work in the face of the virus, which we understand. So you'll get that letter, and it'll have some additional information for you, and you can call, and we can lay out for you what election day will look like. We don't have the plan totally nailed down yet because it literally is a work in progress. We're trying to figure out the best way to do this consolidation, the most efficient and effective way to ensure that we're maximizing the space and the ability for people to get to that space. There's a lot of challenges with the spaces that are available to us, the SEPTA being on the lifeline schedule, the poll worker shortage. All these things certainly come into play, and unfortunately, it's just taken us a little long because none of us, quite honestly, had a playbook on how to do this. But we're doing our best to get it done with the state's guidance, so that we know that what we're doing is sure. But you'll get a letter in the mail, and then you'll be able to determine based on the information that we'll be able to provide you at that point on where your polling place will be, and what it's going to look like, and whether or not you think that that's going to be a day that you want to spend being a poll worker. But we appreciate you just the same. And should you decide to not be a poll worker in June, we'll hope that you'll come back in November.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jan. Thank you very much. Hugh, I know we're getting close up on the clock. Probably
yes,
a chance
are.
For one or two more questions, and then we'll get out of here. Who you got next, Hugh?
We got Cecilia. Cecilia, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hello?
Cecilia there?
Hey, Cecilia.
Yes, hi. Thank you for having this.
Sure.
I'm still somewhat confused. If I do a mail-in ballot and everything goes back to another normal in November, would I be able to vote in person, or does voting a mail-in ballot bound me to continue that process forever?
So,
Commissioner?
Senator? Okay, I wanted to make sure. Okay, so the application, you're applying for a mail-in ballot. That application is just for June, just for the primary, unless there is a question on that application. It's question number 7, I believe, off the top of my head, that asks you if you want to continue to be a mail-in voter. If you just don't answer that question, and check that box, we're just going to send you a ballot in June, and in November, you can make that decision at that time whether you want to reapply or go vote in person.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the clarity.
All right. Thank you, Cecilia. Appreciate you calling. Hugh, let's try one more, and let's see if we got a good one for Dr. Dallenbear.
Okay. Let's go to... Yvonne. We're going to go to Yvonne. Yvonne, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hello. Hi. Good evening, everyone.
Hey, Yvonne.
My question is, are there testing centers in West Philadelphia?
Dr. Dallenbear, what do you have for Yvonne for that one?
Yeah, so that's a great question. The testing mechanisms, there's a few different ones. So doctors, if you have a doctor, the doctor can order a test and you can get it done at various locations throughout Philadelphia. Right now, there are a few different places that have set up open testing, and that list is always updated on the phila.gov website. But depending on how far out in West Philadelphia you are, so like Mercy Health has some options. Temple's a little bit more north, they have some options. Penn definitely has some options. And the health center also has a few different options. So I would say that the best way to figure out how to get testing would be able to go on that phila.gov website, and they have a listing there of all the various places where you can get that testing done.
Yvonne,
right.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. Senator, I know that you have concluding remarks, and you want to thank your guests this evening?
Absolutely. We want to – time is tight, and actually we've run a little bit over, but I want to thank our Secretary of State of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Kathy Buchvar, for being a part of this conversation, giving us some direction, giving us some understanding of what's happening with respect to our voting systems in Pennsylvania. I want to thank my good buddy who texts me late at night and early in the morning, Commissioner Lisa Dealey, who's chair of the City Commissioners for the City of Philadelphia, for being a part of this conversation, giving us some practical information. And as a former judge of elections at 18 years of age, I heard that one, Lisa. Okay, I heard that one.
Long time ago.
I was a machine inspector at the same time myself. So I want to thank her and our doctor, Dr. George Dallenbear, for making sure that we never lose sight of the fact that we're dealing with a pandemic, a very serious health issue that has serious health consequences. And always must put our health first. Always must put our health first. Thank you so much, Dr. Dallenbear. Important numbers and important information for people to remember. You got to put this out there. First and foremost, voting. Phone number to get the application sent to you, 877-VOTES-PA, 877-VOTES-PA. VOTESPA. And if you want that personal touch, you can call Commissioner Dealey directly in her office, 215-686-3460, 215-686-3460. Important information, votespa.com, votespa.com. We want as many people as possible to vote from the comfort of their home. So the phone numbers we provided and the website that we've provided are what we really want to tackle as soon as possible. If you're a senior, you can and technology is difficult for you, get that application. The application can be sent to you. You return the application, and the ballot will be sent to you, and just fill that ballot out and put that one back in the mail.
Yes, sir. You were just about to get to it.
which one was that? The Philadelphia?
I was just about to say for another important number, I would say the Greater Philadelphia Coronavirus Hotline.
Absolutely. Which number? I got a couple for them. Which one you have, George?
I'm going with 1-800-722-7112. That's a great source of trusted information. So that's, again, 1-800-722-7112. CHOP has been lucky enough to help to fund and operate that hotline, and it deals with not just the medical issues, but a lot of the social issues that go around it, too, that also always affect health.
Absolutely. Very important. You were right. I was getting ready to mention that number because the mental health connections are at that number as well. So folks, remember, we know there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of tension, a lot of trauma going around. We want to make sure that people are rushing to get that addressed. 800-722-7112, 800-722-7112. For your corona check, irs.gov. For your unemployment compensation, uc.pa.gov, uc.pa.gov. That's and we know both are cumbersome, and we definitely know the unemployment compensation piece is very cumbersome. But you know, we're asking people to stick with it. We know folks have gotten their checks, multiple checks, and we know folks are getting taken care of. It's just taking a little bit more time. Small business support, SBA.gov. Small business support, SBA.gov. I think I've hit everything. I think I've hit every phone number. Always, if you run into problems, call our office, 215-879-7777, 215-879-7777. Who should folks ask for when they call that number?
Oh, Tiffany Wilson. They have to ask for Tiffany when they call that number.
You got to ask for Tiffany Wilson. She will respond to you. She will respond to you. And, of course, that website is SenatorHughes.com. SenatorHughes.com. Hugh, anything else? Are we good? We've covered everything?
No, I think you covered everything. I think our guests have covered everything this evening. The only thing I really need to do is repeat your office number, which is 215-879-7777, where your website is centerhughes.com. And with that, I wish everybody a good evening. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much, everyone. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.